Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the next episode of Crosscut Maker, or the next, Crosscut Maker podcast. And if you have been tuning in over the past, it's been probably more than a year now, I'd use the podcast just for eschatological updates. Now, on my social media and the website that I have, and I do have some exciting news about the website, and also the eschatology is summarized on a website as well, and I got some exciting news about that as well. I have platforms on social media and the website that I deal with a lot of different things, not just eschatology, but other theological, topical theology is one of my passions as well. But with the podcast, I do just eschatological updates and how they would, looking at things going on in the world and how it appears to me that that God is setting the stage for the tribulation period in the very near future. And I've been believing this for several years, but really focused in more since COVID-19 broke and things have accelerated downward. Anybody, Christian or non-Christian, recognizes the world has been transformed radically in the past year and a half. And so, anyway, so I started doing a little bit more. I was doing some before COVID on things about Israel, because it really is focused more on Israel than necessarily global events. And there has been things advancing in that area of the world, which is where the end times focuses, and it focuses on Israel. That's what the seven-year tribulation is about, is purging Israel to its believing remnant. And so there's the focus is going to be on the Middle East. And so I have been doing some paying attention to it, and even doing some posting about it for several years, but then I really have intensified that since I do believe that the birth pangs increased with COVID-19 and the things that have happened since. So I do this podcast usually about once a month, or sometimes less than, once every 3 weeks. It kind of depends on when I feel like there's enough news that has occurred, or things that have occurred that would have to do with tribulation stage setting. Or sometimes if it just goes long enough, and I'll just go ahead and do one just to kind of keep it up to date. And so, but anyway, on the news that I mentioned earlier is my main website that I started from the very beginning of my personal ministry. And again, it started mostly as topical theology. And you can find, there's two subsettings on the website. There's lessons and one-page essays. The lessons are a little bit longer, and they're most of them are pretty brief anyway by comparison to a lot of things. Lessons on topical theology. And there are some eschatological, biblical examination of biblical texts on eschatology in those as well. And then the one-page essays obviously are briefer. They're more like brief essays on a subject that I like to just do summary on. And so that's the main website. And it's been called crosscutcommentaries.simplesite.com. Now, the reason I did the simple sites is because they're free, and they're actually very functional and very easy to access, and the advertisements were almost nothing noticeable, not like these pop-up things that are get on your nerves. And they were free, but for whatever reason, they ended the free website. So I had multiple websites that I used. I had the main one I'm going to tell you about. I had the gospel presentation, gospel30.simplesite.com, and then, of course, I have my end times eschatology summaries there, and I'll tell you about that. But I had many others. I did them in multiple languages. I do advertisements to Latin America in Spanish, and then an Arab world in Arabic language. So I had all kinds of websites because they were free, and I would just add a new website and have a link to where people could go. But they ended the free websites, and they're making you pay now. So I've had to concentrate them, and that's okay. I kind of feel like it was the Lord leading me to kind of go back to serving just all English is what I'm going to do now. I was doing multiple languages throughout the world, which I think was a great privilege, and put the gospel in front of a lot of eyeballs by God's grace. But now that I have to pay, I'm just going to limit it to three websites. But the good news about that is now that I paid, I could actually adjust the name of the the website, so they're not as long, because crosscutcommentaries.simplesite.com is something you wouldn't even be able to remember hardly. And but yeah, obviously I use it mostly as links anyway, so it didn't matter. But now, since I'm paying, I have it is, you, if you go to crosscutcommentaries.simplesite.com, you still go to where this is, but the actual name of the website now is crosscutcom.com. So crosscutcom.com. So it's short for crosscutcommentaries.com, but it's just crosscut.com. That's my main website, and it's got pretty much everything there. It's got links to the End Times website that I'm about to tell you about. It's got links to the Gospel website. It's got, and again, it's got all the topical writings that I've done over the past probably 6 or 7 years. So there's that. And then again, what the other the next website that I've had for several years now is particular to what I'm talking about on the podcast. That is eschatological indication, and I called it EOA-indicators.simplesite.com was the name of it for a long time, and it just stood for end of age indicators. So that's what I do here, is I recognize what's going on and how that appears to be setting the stage for events that happen in the tribulation period. But that website, like I said, it was EOA-indicators.simplesite.com, but I've had to pay for that one. So now that one is EOA-ind.com. EOA-ind.com. Very easy to remember. And that has all the summary stuff laid out, what I have been seeing for the past couple of years, and then I will adjust it in it, and as new, you know, pertinent new information happens. I don't like the podcast. I do more detailed stuff, but I only adjust the website if it's something pretty significant, and so I don't adjust it all the time, but every day certainly not. But usually, every couple months, I'll read it over and see if there's some pertinent information that needs to be added. So again, that's EOA-IND.com. And the third website I'm going to keep. Now, I have not been forced to pay the website yet, but I'm almost certain it will, because every other website I have has. What they do is they send you an email telling you got so many days, and then there's a pretty good offer on that to get a pretty good deal for a website. But without that email, you can't really change the website, so I'm just waiting for that. But Gospel 30, G-O-S-P-E-L 30.simplesite.com is where I do the 30-second gospel presentation that I advertise throughout the world. So somebody, you know, I try and make it as clear, accurate, and easy to understand. The gospel is a pretty simple offer, but you got to be clear on it. And so I try to have done that for several years. But that right now is still going to be gospel30.simplesite.com. It will eventually, if they take it away, the free, and I'm sure they will, it'll be gospel30.com is what my goal is for that. But right now it's still Simple Site. So again, the three main websites I'm going to keep running are crosscutcom.com, EOA-IND.com, and then gospel30eventually.com, hopefully. All right, so that's kind of been some things. So I do more than just this podcast is my point here, because I'm almost sometimes uncomfortable doing too much. And if you've listened to any of my podcasts in the past year or so, I'm always very cautious not to overdo it with eschatology, because, or especially in this way, because you can micromanage this thing, and also it gets you involved, it gets me involved in observing the news and getting involved in worldliness more than I'm comfortable with sometimes, even though I do think it's a ministry God's given me, so I do it. But I always have to guard that, because I can just be sucked in and dulled out from the Lord and the scriptures by paying too much attention to politics and world events. So I do most of the ministry is more biblically oriented, and I'm saying I think this is biblically oriented, but it's not trying to compare that with the news and things like that. So those are the websites. You can find those resources, and I pray that they would be a benefit to you. A lot of it's about, there's quite a bit of biblical eschatology, quite a bit of soteriology. I'm passionate about that. And just other various questions that are common questions that people challenge the Christian faith on, that I've written some summary articles on there. And it's pretty clear. Like I said, you go to that website, crosscutcom.com, and there's a homepage which it takes you to, and there's links there that you can read through. And then there's a lessons and a one-page essays. And that's it. Pretty simple. And there's no, obviously, no fees or no even anything. I do put a link on there and have for a while for PayPal to, you know, if anybody does want to donate. All I do with every penny that I would get would be to, again, I promote the gospel on Instagram and Facebook throughout the world now, and now I pretty much am going to limit it to English-speaking countries, because you can put the gospel in front of a lot of eyeballs for a very, very, very small amount of money, and so that's something I've been really, really blessed and privileged to do. So there's a link there, but honestly, my point is that there's everything there is free. You can print, share, anything. I just want it all be to the glory of Christ. All right, now that we have that introduction out of the way, the last time we did a eschatological update was September 26th, and today is October 23rd, 2021. And since then, there has been, you know, some, I think, reasonably significant things happen. Things are happening. There's so many things happening in the world right now. It's almost, you get, in my opinion, adjusted to incredible things happening to the point where you think incredible things begin to feel like they're not so incredible anymore. And so there's a whole lot of things happening, but they almost have to be earth-shattering now for them to stick out. But there are the things that would associate with the end of the age. I have a few things here that we can talk about. The United Nations did have their General Assembly in, they were in the middle of it. So we did talk a little bit about that at the last podcast. And it was pretty much the same thing about globalism, global solutions to global problems. And then I found out that they actually are calling for it's called a Summit of the Future. And so I printed out what I think this is actually a direct quote from their website of what their goal is. In order to achieve these aims, the Secretary General recommends a Summit of the Future 2023, which would forge a new global consensus on what our future should look like and how we can secure it. The summit would address the perennial issues of peace and security, setting out a new agenda for peace. With more investment for peace building, support for regional conflict prevention, and a reduction of strategic risks such as nuclear weapons and cyber warfare, and a dialogue on outer space to ensure that it is used peacefully and sustainably. So the new agenda for peace, again, it sounds good, right? You're like, who doesn't want peace? But the United Nations is about as, in my opinion, dark and corrupt organization as you could find. And they, again, the call for globalism is absolutely being emphasized over and over and over. And the term I heard associated to this, which I thought was accurate, is called multilateralism with teeth. And so the United Nations is now becoming very aggressive about globalism. It was just an emphasis or a suggestion, but now I think they actually see this as a reality in the very near future, and I think they're right, because again, scripture teaches there's a man who takes over the entire world, and there's a global government that rules at least during the second half of the tribulation, if not most of the 7-year tribulation. So you know, that's why everybody realizes when you see globalism, and you see a real, not just push for it, but a real, I mean, it's going that way. That's where this is going. And the United States is led by globalists now. And so exactly how that works out to get to that point is to be seen, but you certainly see the globalists see this as their opportunity now, and they're going full speed ahead. This is not turning around when it comes to that issue. And I've said this from day one, I don't see how in the world that the Antichrist, when it comes to pass, that the United Nations is not the core of that. Somehow, some way, that they have to be the structure of a global government, because they are right now pretty much that in a sense. Again, I don't know how every country is going to fit into this, because you have this 10 king coalition that scripture talks about, that the Antichrist takes over. He's not, he doesn't appear to be one of the first ten. He's somebody who comes along, either a newcomer or somebody who was a former political person, and he takes over these ten. So it doesn't seem like it's a universal at first, at least. But by the midpoint of the tribulation period, when he, in my opinion, he appears to be assassinated and appears to be raised from the dead, and people believe it, that's when everybody gives their allegiance to him, or in the mark of the beast kicks in and everything. That's at the midpoint. But up until then, there's going to be a 10-nation coalition that he will lead, and he will be involved he doesn't come to be known at the midpoint of the tribulation period. You'll know who this guy is at the beginning of the tribulation period, because Daniel 9:27 says, he talks about the prince who is to come, which is the Antichrist. He will be the one who makes the tribulation agreement. So you'll know by then, but then he doesn't fully kick into to as evil as he gets until the midpoint. So the United Nations is pressing forward. It's not surprising, and they see it. They're actually really trying to make this come about. Again, this is the one issue they don't see, and I don't know the timing of it, but biblically, I believe with 97% of my heart this week that the rapture does happen before the tribulation period, and I think that's the accelerant that pushes all of this stuff that's going on full speed ahead into the tribulation period. Again, the rapture, when that occurs, that's not the beginning of the tribulation period. The beginning of the tribulation period is a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. But, and I do believe the rapture happens before it, and I believe the rapture happens not long before it. That, especially, I believe that more and more now, because as things are building up, it's almost to the point where you can see the tribulation period kicking in really soon, just on a human level. And again, if you want more detail on that, go to eoa-ind.com on the all of the things converging that would happen in the tribulation period. But I do think that they don't see that, and that'll be the final cataclysmic crisis that they will use to nail it down. All right, so next, Israel Foreign Minister Yair Lapid formally asked the Palestinians to join the Abraham Accords. And I do believe the tribulation agreement will address both the Abraham Accords and the Palestinian issue, among other issues like Iran. Again, we're talking about the tribulation agreement, it involves Israel and their security. There's a whole lot of other things that might roll into it, but the issues that Israel has with peace agreements going on right now, there's three main issues. Obviously you have Iran. There's really no legitimate reason to think there's going to be any kind of peace agreement between Iran and Israel. It's probably going to end in conflict. And then you have the Abraham Accords, which is Israel making peace with a lot of moderate Arab nations. And then the biggest issue is the Palestinians. And I've always said, I believe that'll be the linchpin of the tribulation. That'll be the final person, the Antichrist will come along and solve that issue, roll that into the Abraham Accords somehow, and probably address the Iranian issue. Somehow everything's just going to be wrapped up into one. Again, it will be a legitimate peace agreement. I mean, I shouldn't say legitimate. It will actually function for 3.5 years until he turns on them. So there will be peace and security in the Middle East, at least during the first half of the tribulation period. And as for the rest of the world, that's debatable. But I thought it was interesting that Yair Lapid actually formally asked the Palestinians to join the Abraham Accords, because, again, those are the two big issues when it comes to what I believe will be parts of the tribulation agreement. All right, and then I learned something about, I guess it's been going on for a while, but I hadn't heard of it until a couple weeks ago, Starlink, which is an Elon Musk venture, which would basically give every inch of the world access to the internet, will be ready by the end of 2022. So I thought that was interesting, where, again, this would If you go on my website, eoa-id.com, you would see on number 6, I believe, is the necessary technology is one of the indicators, one of the necessities of the tribulation agreement. Because of the mark of the beast, complete control of the world, you have to have the necessary technology for that. And even just the statue that is alive, theoretically, that is the image of the beast that is put up at the midpoint, seems to have something that you need technology for, virtual reality for. So, but anyway, so you'd have, you know, you're going to need, and this is coming to pass, whether it be through Starlink or somewhere else, where the whole world will have access to broadband. Yeah, that's not a bad thing on a human level, of course. I mean, it's great to have access to information and things, but this certainly would be an infrastructure the Antichrist could use when he takes control. So I thought that was interesting. And then you're going back to Israel, in the Middle East. You have, this probably was the most significant thing to happen since the last podcast. For the first time ever, a judicial court has ruled that Jews may silently, I put that in parentheses, pray on the Temple Mount. The rabbi who initiated the lawsuit said, "It is time to serve God in Zion without fear." So you have this rabbi who, I believe he was arrested for, he was praying on Temple Mount. And then he filed a lawsuit. And then, I guess this was a breakthrough ruling, that a judicial, first time ever that a judicial court has ruled that Jews may, you know, they still have to do it silently, but they actually may pray on the Temple Mount. So it looks like they could be visibly praying, just not speaking out loud, and it would be allowed now. Again, this just shows more and more desire by the Jewish people for the Third Temple. They recognize, and they're becoming more bold about it too. And because, you know, that if there's one super sign, if you had to say the one thing that is absolutely necessary for the tribulation and is very visible, would be a third temple for the Jewish people. They will have a third temple at least by the midpoint of the tribulation. My timing has always been, I believe it's probably going to be part of the tribulation agreement, that would be a carrot that draws them into it. They will get their third temple if you agree to blah blah all this other stuff, Palestinian state, you know, Iran this, and Abraham, you know, rolling that all in. But one, I think one of the big enticements for Israel will be a third temple. And they will likely build it during the first half. You know, it won't take the entire first half. They'll begin to have animal sacrifices again in their temple, on the Temple Mount. And then we know this because the Antichrist stops it at the midpoint. Turns on them, takes away their animal sacrifices, and he sits in the temple and claims himself to be God. That's when that's called the abomination of desolation. And then that's when the mark of the beast is instituted, and the second half of the tribulation period begins. But there's just more and more buildup in the Jewish world, especially obviously among religious Jews, for the temple to be built. And so this was significant to me. Again, timing wise, I don't know how all this is going to, it's just going, everything's going the right direction on all of these fronts. But exactly how it closes out, again, the rapture of the church may have a lot to do with that, or it may work itself out in just human ways, almost to the point where it begins. All right, and then also I found this interesting. All right, ISIS-K, which you probably have heard of them because they were involved in the Afghanistan attack at the airport that killed U.S. troops. And what that stands for is, I heard the word back then at the time, but I didn't understand really the significance of it from an Islamic perspective. Is ISIS-K stands for, the K of that stands for Khorasan, Khorasan. And that's a territory that includes Afghanistan. And that's important because Islamic prophecy believes that when you see black flags flying in Khorasan, which is Afghanistan, which is the ISIS flag, it's black, of course, then the march towards Jerusalem has begun behind the Mahdi. Their eschatology has their last Mahdi coming on board, who ends up leading them to conquer Jerusalem. Again, I've heard sermons, legit, pretty good sermons, on how the last Mahdi almost seems identical to the biblical Antichrist. And so, but anyway, they believe, and it's, I guess it's in their Quran, that when you see black flags flying in Afghanistan, like the Islam's taking over there, then the march towards Jerusalem has begun. Now, obviously, this is a false prophecy because it's in the Quran. Then there's everything about the Quran is spiritually false. But God could providentially use a belief in a false prophecy to fulfill a true prophecy, which would be Ezekiel chapter 38, 39. There will be a massive Islamic invasion of Israel. And exactly when that times out is very one of the more difficult things I've ever tried to study. But the conclusion I came to is it will be towards the end of the first half of the tribulation period. So I don't think that happens before the tribulation period. Some people do. Some very good prophecy teachers believe that it'll happen before the tribulation. Some people think it happens in the second half of the tribulation. I believe it happens toward the end of the first half. So there's a 7-year tribulation period. Midpoint would be 3.5 years. That's when the abomination of desolation kicks in. So my thought is it happens right before that occurs. But you see, again, the Islamic, they're surrounded by Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, you name it, every direction. You see Islamic nations being very aggressive towards Israel. And, of course, the big three of that invasion are Turkey, Russia, and Iran. And so exactly how, and it was kind of ironic that Putin and Bennett, Naftali Bennett, the Prime Minister of Israel, met a couple days ago. I didn't see anything significant other than, you know, they seem to get along is what I heard. I think that's a little bit later. I don't think it's an immediate thing. You see the buildup to it. That's number 5, I believe, on my website, eoa-ind.com, on the how Iran, Turkey, and Russia are becoming aggressive. They're forming a coalition, becoming aggressive towards Israel, and that invasion will happen. But I don't think that happens to the tribulation period. But this could be part of the motivation behind that. They believe that Israel is weak, and they believe that. And if you just look at the numbers of it, of the nations around Israel, again, if not for the United States standing behind Israel on a human level, of course, God is going to be the one who. The United States is not going to save Israel at this invasion. It's going to be God directly. And so he will be the one to defend Israel. But on a human level, up until then, what the restraint is the United States. Knowing that if they were to invade Israel, they would have to deal with the United States, at least theoretically. Again, I don't think this administration is Israel-friendly at all. But they still say the right things. All right, then finally, you know, this hadn't happened yet. But we talked a little bit about COP26 last time, I believe. When it came to, the UN Climate Conference will be held in Italy, November 1st through the 12th. And we talked a little bit last week about the 7-year journey of Laudato Si, the Catholic climate change initiative. And that's one thing I really have been thinking about, and I don't know. I don't have a clue, but somehow it seems almost impossible for climate change not to be part of the tribulation agreement, because it's COVID-19 and climate change are the two global issues that the United Nations is pressing forward for global, you know, that's kind of the, we need to get together because this is going to kill everybody. And I don't believe in the climate change that they talk about, but that's for another time. But, and I mentioned last time that I thought it was interesting that the Catholic initiative was a seven-year journey, is what they called it. And so I thought, anytime I hear 7 years right now, it catches my attention. So I don't know, who knows how that could be, how it gets to be 7 years. Or I don't think so. Again, things are going to change with the rapture of the church before the tribulation agreement. So climate change could be a non-issue if that happens, and worldwide war threatens to break out, or even breaks in worldwide chaos and anarchy at the rapture of the church. And, you know, there could be a picture of aggressiveness towards Israel, maybe even an attempt at invasion, and just everything's just going nuts. And then man, along comes this coalition and the man behind it that calms everything down, the Antichrist. And so I think you cannot know what the rapture is going to do. So that's why I've never really considered climate change to be part of the tribulation agreement, because it's not a war. It seems like the tribulation agreement is primarily focused on Israel and its in the Middle East peace. But having said that, I don't know how many global issues would be wrapped into it. I don't know, but regardless, it is the issue of the day. But again, I think the rapture will change everything. So it's impossible to know. That's a miraculous, supernatural, global event that you cannot factor in the impact. And so I've always set aside climate change as something that is just an issue. And maybe I thought, well, maybe in the beginning of the tribulation period, when God, just like in the birth pang buildup, they're just blaming every time there's a, in my opinion, a warning sign from God that what's coming, that they just turn it into climate change and deny God even more. And I think in the early tribulation period, that where these there are going to be catastrophic weather events. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And they're just going to get worse and worse, earthquakes and hurricanes and whatever else, flooding and just massive fire. Everything's going to increase in the tribulation period. And I thought at first they would blame that on climate change, like they're doing now. Everything that happens now is climate change. But at some point in the book of Revelation, it teaches they figure out where these things are coming from. These are coming from God, and they don't repent. They blaspheme Him. But they realize, the point is, they figure out that these things are no longer climate change, that these are direct judgments from God. So how that fits in, I'm not sure. But anyway, President Biden, who I don't think is the Antichrist, but I do think the Antichrist comes from the West. And this administration is certainly evil, in my opinion. But anyway, he's going to be making an interesting trip here coming up at the end of October. He's going to be going to the G20, which is in Rome. And then he's going to be visiting the Pope. And then he's going to be attending the COP26, the Climate Change Conference of the United Nations. I think, like I said, I think it's November 1st through 12th. Those are all, again, I don't know how, I have thought, and you can see this on my website, eoa-ind.com, is that, I don't know, nobody knows, and I don't put names on false prophet, antichrist, those two biblical end time characters, but I thought, Pope Francis seems to be fitting the bill for the false prophet, because he's very ecumenical, he's pressing for a one world religion, and the way I understand it is the false prophet does the first half of the tribulation period. He runs this, he's got this one world religion where he rolls all the religions into one. And then at the midpoint, that one world religion is destroyed by the Antichrist. And then the false prophet points everybody to him. He becomes the object of worship alone. So the one world false church religion is destroyed. And I've always thought Pope Francis seems to be at least fitting the bill ecumenically. So he's been interesting in how the Catholic Church certainly will be a huge part of that one world religion. They will be a huge part of it because they're the biggest false religion in the world. And that may surprise you. It may be new to the podcast. And you can go to my website, crosscutcom.com, and on the first page it talks about why Catholicism will not save you from your sins. It has a false gospel. It has a false Christ. It has a false head of the church. It has a false Mary. It has a whole lot of falsity. But mainly, the focus I target is they have a different way to be saved than Scripture. You're saved by faith in Christ alone. You believe who He is, that He's Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He's truly God, truly man. And you trust in His work. His perfect work is He lived without sin, He died on a cross for the sins of sinners, and He was raised from the dead. So you trust in His work. Or Rome teaches, no, it's not enough. Faith is not enough. You have to do this, you have to be baptized, you have to do this, you have to do the penance, you have to do the mass, you have to do nonstop. And then even then, you can't be sure. You'll likely end up in purgatory and just all kinds of unbiblical teachings that Catholicism has. But if you're interested in that, I have some of that on the website. But regardless, so I think Catholicism, false religion, no doubt about it, unbiblical will be a huge part of the tribulation one world religion of the first half. Again, it gets destroyed. All of it gets destroyed. So you have this big connection there. And then you have a United Nations climate change meeting happening after that. And the G20, I didn't look into exactly what that is. Let's see if I can just Google that real quick. I focus more on the G7. What is the G20? All right, the G20 is an intergovernmental forum compromising 19 countries and the European Union. It works to address major issues related to the global economy, such as international financial stability, climate change mitigation, and sustainable, can't avoid it anywhere, and sustainable development. So I like to know who's in there, but anyway, so that's another globalist operation. You can see that pretty clear. Members. The 19 countries are Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Germany, France, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, South Korea, Turkey, the United States, and the United Kingdom. Interesting group there. So that's where the G20 will be occurring first, as I understand it, in Rome, Italy. And that's why Biden is a Roman Catholic himself. He will be visiting the Pope next, and then on to the UN COP26. Those are all huge global events, global ramifications with those three events. So I thought that was significant. We'll see how that plays out. There's not going to be a whole lot of surprises when it comes to what they want. They want globalism. And the Pope is another guy who wants globalism. Not only does he want a one world religion, he wants a global government as well. So he just seems to be a prescription for the tribulation period. What he wants is what will happen in the tribulation period. And so they're going to get their way. So a lot of people are, you know, it's a difficult thing to observe these things, especially as a United States citizen. And it's easy to get swallowed up by it. That's why, like I said, even just doing a podcast like this, doing the research, talking about it, it can make my mind fearful, because you just, the reality of things happening and the fact that they're not going to be turning around can be frightening. If you, as a Christian, the key to this and the key to all Christian life is to view everything in light of God, in light of who He is and what He has promised to do. So we are called to keep our hearts and minds upward, stay in the Scriptures, pray, fellowship with other believers. You just have to have those three things. And then this can be exciting for a Christian if you believe what I'm saying here, that we are very near the end of the age. Because, again, as far as I can tell, the removal of the church happens first, which is the day we meet Christ, which would be a great day. So you got to look past, you know, and even at, you know, even theoretically, say the rapture doesn't say I'm off on that. And again, I'm 97% pre-trib. I'm 2% post-trib and 1% mid-trib. So let's say the 1% or 2% is right. Well, then we just know that Christ returns at the end of the tribulation period. That's not debatable. So it would just, you know, that it's about Jesus Christ and His return. But I do believe, I am convinced that the rapture happens before the tribulation period. So that's what I have for now, and like I said, I usually do these every 3 to 4 weeks. Just kind of depends on if there's something significant that happens. And it will be interesting to watch the G20 and the COP26 coming up in the next couple weeks. Again, I know what they're going to be saying, but whether they'll actually put some teeth into it and put some will behind it, we will see. But if you're a Christian, then you just got to keep looking up, realizing that we live in exciting times. I mean, it is exciting times. It's scary times, but it's exciting times. And I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people. There's people who rarely even think about eschatology. They're recognizing now. This is very likely approaching the end of the age. But what I try and focus people on that website, eoa-ind.com, I've said that more times than I usually do. I'm not promoting it because, I mean, I am promoting it, but it's not like I'm gaining anything from it. But it's more detailed as to scriptural and what happens during the tribulation period, how you can see it building up to that. And there, everything's converging. So, but in the meantime, it's very key, and I have to tell myself this pretty much every day, that we work as if there are, you know, as if you're going to live the rest of your life, for the most part. I think you make a minor tweak. You know, I'm doing this podcast, wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe it was coming. But for the most part, I go about my daily life living as if this is going to take some time. And that's one more thing I'll mention, is that it's incredible the way the Lord has done this, that although I'm almost 99.9% convinced we're very near the end of the age, it still could be, the rapture could happen before I get done with this podcast. Or it could theoretically happen several more years from now. The buildup could take several more years. That's about as much as I can. But again, I'll never name a date. I'll never give a time frame. I'll never say, well, by 2025, we're going to step. No, I don't know that. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I will say is that the way things are going, I don't see, personally speaking, not knowing anything in particular, how it's years out seems like a long shot to me. But I'll leave it there. All right, but I always end the podcast with a biblical gospel presentation, because that's what will save anybody from, you know, I believe it will save you from the tribulation period, but most importantly, it'll save you from the eternal wrath that is due for your sins. All right, a true biblical gospel presentation in 30 seconds. One day we will all face the one true and living holy God, and you need to have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to Him before that occurs. In God's great love, He has mercifully made a way. It only happens biblically by repentance, confessing your sinfulness and hopelessness from your heart to God, and faith, believing the gospel, who Jesus Christ is, truly man and the one true God, and trusting only in His redemptive work, perfect life, death on a cross for the sins of sinners, and resurrection for your salvation. If you genuinely do this, you will be instantly and permanently covered by the righteousness of Christ, and He will have been treated as if He committed all of your past, present, and future sins. If you refuse the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be judged according to your works, and unless you have lived without even one sin like Christ, will end in eternal conscious condemnation. So it's imperative that you respond to the gospel with repentance and faith, and in particular, you know, just adding eschatology to it. You may not have as long as you think you have. And you won't be saved by seeing a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel and remembering somebody mentioned that in a podcast. That's not how salvation works. You would explain it away unless God grants you repentance and faith in Christ. So today's, you don't want to put that off, in my point. You don't want to say, well, I'll wait and see if this happens. And if it does happen, then I'll believe. Not how it works. God has to grant repentance. And you don't want to push that off, because you don't know, none of us know, if today would be our last day. So you want to make sure that you have been forgiven and reconciled to the one true God through faith in Christ. And you can do that anywhere, anytime, with a humble, penitent heart to Him. All right, well, thank you very much, and until next time, may Christ be known.